From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. Robin isn't here, but Lars Gotrich is.
Oh, hey, Bob. How's it going?
It's good. It's our Vikings Choice year and stuff. What are we going to do?
I thought I'd kick you in the pants.
Like how?
I'm going to kick you in the pants with Grit Link.
Let's kick. Oh, no, not there.
How did that feel, Bob?
That was great. Good morning.
Is it morning?
Yeah, well, it just feels like I just woke up.
So that was Grit Link. It comes off their album Long Henna. And today we're going to be talking about kind of a wide variety of my favorite albums of the year. It's not a ranked list. It's not a just metal list. It's not just a weird music list. It's just kind of like...
It's a bit of a weird music list.
Yeah.
It's a noisy list and sometimes a super quiet list, maybe.
Yeah. So this record is by Grit Link. It's their third and final record. They're a bi-continental band. Most of their members live in America. Their guitarist, who you heard just doing unbelievably shred
work. I'm
going
to guess Japan.
Is from Japan.
Yes.
Yes. The masterful thing about Grit Link, they've always been kind of like, they write these one-minute masterpieces and they just... jam-packed so much information in there that if, I feel like if you stretched it out, you could have a symphony. The thing about grindcore is it's always been about the miniature. Since its initiation in the 80s with bands like Napalm Death and Repulsion, it was often very filthy. But Grit Link, who includes members of a band called Discordance Axis, they are always about the pristine. They wanted you to hear every single thing they did. Kind of the heartbreaking thing, not only about this being the last Grit Link record, but this will be the last record by the guitarist, whose name is Takafumi Matsubara. He was diagnosed with a brain infection earlier this year, and it's now it's almost impossible for him to play the guitar, which is heartbreaking. Yeah. But this is a hell of a way to go out. I feel like metalheads will be dissecting Long Henna for a really long time.
Let's hear a few more seconds now that we know all that. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there a vocalist in
there's
there?
A vocalist.
Buried
his name is John Chang. He's an American. He's actually, in the world of extreme metal, he's one of the most diverse in his range. He screams. He's not a singer, but he does so much with his voice that it's an instrument in itself. It's just not some guy screaming the same low tone or the same high tone. He goes the whole range, and I hope to hear more from him. I hope this isn't his last effort as well.
So let's continue on this track. We got something fast and loud. What are we going to do next?
We're going to continue fast and loud.
Okay.
But filthy.
Okay, FCC.
So this was an amazing year for punk rock. I feel
Agreed.
Like this year, not that I stopped paying attention to punk rock, but this year there was just like an overabundance of like really great punk records, particularly from younger bands. There are a lot of older bands, you know, veterans bringing in some great stuff, but there is this fantastic band from London called Good Throb. There's a band here in Washington, D.C. called Priests, and they went on tour together in the United States, and Gideon, the guitarist from Priests, he said, you got to check out Good Throb.
And Gideon's got good taste.
He's got great taste in music, so I pick up their record. Didn't manage to see them on their tour, but the one thing that I kind of read that makes sense is that this Good Throb record is like, it's kind of a deconstruction of the fall, like the prime 80s fall. It's like, it's kind of dancey, it's really jagged, but it's really sloppy and messy. It's got a whole lot of oomph right behind every single track.
You want to play Acid House?
So I'm going to play Acid House, and I can't tell you the name of the album because it's the FCC wouldn't like it, but it's F Off.
Right, and it starts with the same initials as the beginning initials of the FCC.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, 19. I mean, Fall were a Manchester band. This sounds like other Manchester bands. It sounds, Gang of Four was the first thing to come to mind here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Delta Five. It's weird and wonderful that this sound exists scarily 40 years almost later.
But still does the same thing, right?
Yeah.
The way they're doing it is fantastic. It's, you know, nice and sloppy, but really heavy and forceful. But K.Y. Ellie, she's a vocalist. She just has this fantastic, coarse singing style that just kind of like bites at every single word.
Mm-hmm. The guitar is what totally reels me in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fast and Loud still?
No, but, you know, let's
I just had a cup of coffee this afternoon, by
the
way.
Oh, you're feeling good? Yeah, I just had
my
cup of tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, afternoon tea. The next record I want to play for you is a project called Death Blues. So Death Blues is primarily the vehicle for a composer and a percussionist named John Mueller. You may know his name from
Volcano Choir?
Volcano Choir, from Collections of Colonies of Bees,
oh, right.
From Pele. But over the last, I guess it's about 4 years now, he's had this multimedia project called Death Blues, which includes music, essays, art.
Don't know about this.
We did a first listen of it. Whenever the album came out, I can't remember at the time. But this is kind of the closing to the Death Blues project. The album is called Ensemble. And past Death Blues records were basically just John Mueller and an acoustic guitar that he sat on his lap and like a hammer from a piano. And he would just kind of do these very rhythmic, meditative pieces just for guitar, the hammer, and his voice. And they're beautiful and very stunning in their simplicity, but you could always tell that there was room to expand.
Mm-hmm.
So for Ensemble, he brought in an arranger named Brilliant Ryan Fritsch, who only came to arrangement and composition within the last few years. It's very new for him, but he kind of came out with a rabid curiosity, so he just wanted to learn every instrument that he could. And so that kind of comes together in this project. You can hear their excitement clicking as the tracks happen. So the song that I would play for you is called Participant, and it strings in Chinese folk music and melodies, and has these great sweeping quality, and it's very dreamlike. It has remained for me one of the most stirring records of the year.
Nice. I don't know this, so this is exciting. Here we go. Death Blues, Participant.
Thank you.
I like that a lot. That's John Mueller. The project's called
Death Blues, and then the name of that record is Ensemble. And there have been a few other records under that name, and I don't know what's next for John Mueller, but I've really enjoyed following this project.
I want this.
Yeah.
Must have. Thanks. I'm talking with Lars Gotridge, and Lars does, you know, you've probably seen the Vikings Choice stuff on the All Songs website. Often it's metal, but it's stuff that is the extremities of music would be one way to put it. Super quiet, the super loud, the, you know.
Super fast, super, super slow. Fast.
And it's sort of, right, exactly. And it's sort of a nice way, I think, for people, having seen all the top lists that come out at the end of the year, to dig into a music that you may have missed completely, or if you love, may have missed in the coverage over the in many of the publications of this kind of music. So it's kind of a palate cleanser from year to year, you know, start my new year off in
with
a nice
the weird
way.
Stuff.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm not even going to predict where you're going next.
Okay. Right. So up next, so last year, do you remember last year when somebody uploaded a video to YouTube and it was of kind of a pan-generational band in Thailand?
Oh, the Thailand thing, yes.
Yeah, making just the most incredible
it's like
psychedelic
an open field.
Music.
Yeah.
So, okay.
It's like
so,
a campfire without the campfire. A lot of bells and rhythmic, trancey. Rhythmic music.
Yeah. Yeah. And cool. So, like, you know, a bunch of, like, psychedelic music nerds like myself kind of got really excited about that. So there was a producer in L.A. who found their Facebook page, found this band's Facebook page. It's all in Thailand's native language, which he doesn't speak. So he goes to his local Thai restaurant. And
oh, I like this.
And so he asked him, can you write them a message for me asking if I can come meet them? And so after some much reticence, I think, you know, well-deserved from the band, they said, okay, you can come over and yes, you can record an album with us. Lo and behold, a year later, the name of the group is Khun Narin. I hope I am saying that correct. And the name
Khun, new word, Narin.
Right, and the name of the record is the Electric Finn Band. Finn spelled Phin. So in the kind of like nerdy reissue market, they're one of the fun things to find are reissues of like, compilations of like Thai psychedelic music. Mm-hmm. Just because people from that part of musicians from that part of the world heard psychedelic music from America, from the UK, and they loved it and heard it a little bit differently. They brought in some of their folk melodies, sometimes even some of their instruments, not always. Mm-hmm. And they did something different with it. And so to see that video, to see that it's still happening over there, because, you know, sometimes we're kind of cloistered off in our own American parts Absolutely. Of the world because, you know, that's just the way it is and we don't always expand our minds that way. So to see that was very exciting that it's still going on and it's not just like this reissue campaign because that's, we're kind of in a reissue market now. And so it was exciting to see that new, and then even more exciting to find out that this band recorded a new album and that it's just this beautifully circular psychedelic, I'm not going to say, it's a rock record, it's a folk record, it just is. Mm-hmm. It has its own internal logic.
So let's play some.
Yeah, so this is a track, it's a 12 minute track, so we're just going to
sit back and
goodbye, everybody. We're gonna play some of it. We're not gonna play all of it. We'll certainly put up the whole track on the website so people can listen to it. And I'll link the whole album's on Bandcamp, so we'll link to that as well.
Fabulous.
So we're gonna play a track called Lam Phu Thai. Thank you.
This fits in with the same vibe of why I like bands like Tenaro and those Saharan desert artists, Somali artists, that sort of underpinning drony guitar. It's why psychedelic music through their eyes, which is already drony music, their music is
right.
Often that is so interesting. It's sort of what you were pointing out earlier. So the recordings that we saw, the videotapes we saw, was
it was a party.
Yeah,
I mean, that's basically what it was. It was like the band gets together. They kind of like do a small parade through town. It's kind of a mobile unit. They have like their own like mobile speaker system, and there's a guy pushing
the
speakers through town. and then they stop, and then they just drink beer and whiskey, and they just play psychedelic music all night. And
I'm not sure they'd call it psychedelic music.
Well, they just play music all night. Yeah, absolutely. They just play music all night. And so this producer, the LA producer I was talking about, when he met them, he wanted to stay true to that sound. So he had a backpack with two microphones, a MacBook, and probably some other kind of device, and some microphones. He set them up on like a dirt road where they would normally travel. Not too far from a rice paddy, and just recorded them doing their thing with their sound system intact. So not even like they're not in a studio, like using fancy equipment that because that sound system, those instruments is what gives that texture, what gives that sound. And just
good for him,
like,
for doing it that way. The Alan Lomax.
Yeah, keep it true.
Excellent. So that was Kuhn Narin, if we did okay in our land of Thai. If not, we apologize.
Yes.
And where are we heading next?
We're going loud. But we're going loud and weird. So earlier this year, there was an image that popped up on my Twitter feed. And it literally was just... So there's the drone, the abstract heavy drone band called Sun, and they have a very distinctive logo, which is the logo of the amp company Sun, which
S-U-N-N.
Has S-U-N-N, and then it has like an O with like parentheses after it to denote that it's like sound frequency type stuff.
Or Sun's rays.
Right. And so there was that, but instead of it saying the logo saying Sun, it said Scott. And it was in the typical Scott Walker font. And, like, my mind just kind of exploded a little bit, like, wondering if this was just some kind of, like, cute hoax that somebody put together.
These are two artists you are passionate about.
Yeah, and, like, I get like, flustered just thinking about it, because it's like, what does that mean? What does Scott Walker and Sun mean? And so then it was announced they have done a collaborative album together. Scott Walker wrote the songs. Sun's the backing band. And so if you don't know Scott Walker... Scott Walker in the late 60s, he was in a band. He was a band called the Walker Brothers that was supposed to be the next Beatles. They didn't end up being the next Beatles. They broke up. Scott Walker had a solo career that kind of traversed lots of different angles. He started out as kind of a crooner. He got kind of experimental. Then he kind of had like a country politan phase. Then he went away. And then he came back and was just very... very strange, and with very strange and abstract records, starting with Climate of the Hunter in the 80s, and then came back like 10, 11 years later with Tilt, and then went away for another decade or so. And now he's releasing albums more frequently. I don't know if that has to do with him realizing that he's getting older, he doesn't have as much time, or he just wants to make lots of records. And he's pretty much consistently challenged my notions of what music and sound should be. And he even kind of challenges that notion by saying, maybe there's nothing weird left. Maybe we've taken as far as we can go.
Well, let's listen to this and try to decide, because it was right. Pretty out there.
All right. So the name of this album is Soused. Let's play Brando, which is probably my favorite cut from the album, one of the most ridiculous things I've heard all year.
Oh, the wild Missouri dwells on the blood. Across the wild Missouri, never enough never enough.
Long way from the sun ain't gonna shine anymore. The Walker Brothers song.
Oh, the sun!
Oh, there you go.
Shine, like, ain't gonna shine
oh,
anymore.
Oh, he could use that for a title. That would've been awesome.
He has the sense of humor to do something of that like that. Although, one of my favorite stories about Scott Walker before he came out with The Drift, which was his 2006 album, there's a story about an A&R guy who was like sitting in on like a listening session for the album before that it was going to be released. And Scott Walker in the studio just had it playing at this unbelievable volume in the studio. And, you know, in a studio, you know, nice speakers. Mm-hmm. So like, it's really like taking a toll on this guy. And the A&R guy says to Scott, do you mind turning it down? It's really loud. And Scott says, if you don't mind, this is the only time I'm going to listen to this album. He doesn't look back. So that'll be, I'll be curious. There are rumors that Scott Walker apparently is not opposed to performing this album because Sun can reproduce this live, right, whereas he normally can't reproduce his other albums live because they're so complex.
Huh. I wonder where the most likely place he could do it.
I mean, it would more than likely to have to be in London because Scott doesn't really travel.
He's early '70s.
He's an American who lives in London. He's lived there for 40 some years. And you know, Sun is a transcontinental band, so it doesn't, like, one half the band lives in California, the other half lives in Paris. Yeah. So it doesn't really, they'll travel. So, Scott, if you play in London, I will finally renew my visa, and I will come see you.
We're happy to spread the word worldwide and broadcast it, in case you needed a partner.
But yeah, I'll admit, Sows is a difficult record, but I also think that between the two acts, this is also their most restrained in both acts, in lots of aspects, and weirdly, they're most accessible of both. At least within Scott's most recent career, because Sun has finally realized that when they first started, they were a drone doom metal band and they were just really into feedback and being loud. But I think as time went on, they realized what they really wanted to be, and they wanted to do more composed works. Mm-hmm. They wanted to bring in choirs and interesting vocalists. In fact, Scott Walker was originally pitched to appear on the last Sun record, Monoliths and Dimensions, but didn't have time, so that's how this happened. This is why I don't consider it a metal album. This is why I don't consider it avant-garde. It's just kind of like Scott Walker and Sun. Nothing else exists like it.
So, is there anything left to play?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good.
And we can go a little lighter now if you want.
I'm game for anything, actually.
Okay.
I'm on this journey.
All right. So last year I tend to do at least a few different lists for NPR music. This year I don't really have time, so I'm just going to do a metal list. I'm going to do this show. But last year I did a cassette list just because I love the format. And I love the variety of music that's released on the cassette. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, I have hipsters in their cassettes. I don't know. It's an economical format. I enjoy how it looks. I enjoy how it sounds, even though it degrades, whatever. All things degrade. In lieu of that, I want to at least shout out that part of my listening, because it's a large part of my listening and purchasing. One cassette by an Oakland-based artist named Nima. Her real name is Christine Lirio, and she put out a cassette called See, Feel, Real. I kind of have a hard time describing it, because it's kind of an ambient pop record. She uses a lot of Casio keyboards, you know, the cheap little keyboards, and she will use those sounds and kind of loop them and turn them into kind of like these very lo-fi, kind of drony pop songs. Mm-hmm. I guess you could compare it to Grimes, but it doesn't sound like Grimes to me.
Let's just listen.
Yeah, so this is a song called New City Grip.
Another short one.
Yeah.
I like that.
I was listening to it again, it kind of like...
Nima.
Yeah, Nima. It kind of reminded me of Vangelis and his Blade Runner soundtrack. And there's actually been a really... That's a whole other scene that I could go into today, but maybe for another time.
Okay.
But there's a whole retro synth scene that's fascinating. And it's not really a part of that, because that's just a very... That song is not representative of her whole cassette, which you can actually get on Bandcamp. I think the cassette sold out, but you can download it on Bandcamp.
And just briefly, the rest of the stuff is what, quieter or less poppy? Or?
There are songs that are poppy. There are songs that are kind of like just kind of, you know, very lo-fi drone-y kind of things. Mm-hmm. Cool. It's on the whole pretty quiet, but there's a lot to kind of like dig into with it.
N-I-M-A, Nima.
Yeah, and the name of the tape or digital release, however you prefer to nab it, is called See, Feel, Real.
Real, R-E-E-L.
Right, we're supposed to go somewhere
else. Oh, yeah. take me somewhere, like, completely different.
Okay, so last year, I think when we did our year-end show last year, we do this, not every year, but we do
it's an almost annual tradition.
Almost annual tradition. So last year I noted how there was a great there is just an amazing treasure trove of solo acoustic guitar records.
Sure were.
This year is the same. There are a lot of great acoustic guitar records, and, you know,
some we brought to the tiny desk.
Some we brought to the tiny desk.
Like
Riley Walker. And who else did we bring? We brought Marisa Anderson, who is one of my favorite albums of last year. And also Kian Nugent from Dublin. So it's been a great year, great year for that as well. But this is not an acoustic guitar record. It's a claw hammer banjo record. Also within the same mindset. Tied to drone and ambient music, but done with acoustic instruments. And this new record by Nathan Bowles, he is a member of Black Twig Pickers.
And you turned me on to them.
Yeah,
I like them.
Spiral Joy Band and Pelt. And they kind of, all three of those groups kind of celebrate abstract drone and old-timey music, quote unquote. And Nathan Bowles, this is his, I believe, his second solo record. It's called Nansamund. It's almost all clawhammer banjo.
Which is a style of play, maybe you could describe, but it's basically, instead of the normal sort of upstroke on the rhythm with your thumb, this is all imagine taking your fingers and strumming downward and rhythmically whacking the strings downward with your thumb to get the rhythm. So it's often more rhythmic.
Right.
It's a little more punchy, aggressive, maybe. Mm-hmm.
It comes out meditative and almost quieter, I guess, as opposed to when you would normally think of a banjo, which is, normally very upbeat and, rousing. And it's appropriate for this record because it's about Nathan Bowles. Basically, it's kind of a record reflecting on where he grew up in Virginia. So this track called Chuck-a-Tuck, on the first half of the track features Nathan Bowles in kind of a quiet mode with his banjo. And then about halfway through, the guitarist Tom Carter, who's a member of Cher Lambidas, he comes in and kind of gives it a nice little psychedelic coda. Thank you.
I like this Nathan Bowles.
Yeah, Nathan Bowles with Tom Carter on the nice little psychedelic coda there at the end.
Sweet. Lars, this has been good because there's so much different music. I'd say I knew 20% of these.
Awesome.
Yeah, which is wonderful. I mean, the fact that I knew little of it makes me happy, and now I know it all. So, well, not all, but I know it, this little.
You know of it. You are aware of its existence.
That's right. And I'm going to spend a bunch of time toward the end of the year because you're going to give me some of this music.
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
So next, another band that you probably didn't hear, and one that I didn't really start listening to until about a month ago, like an improv jazz rock group out of Dallas called the Unconscious Collective. I was sent this beautiful double vinyl by the label that comes with like daguerreotypes and like has this beautiful silk screening on it. So I'm like, I'm already like, all right, you got me. So it's kind of like all the best parts of Ronald Chen and Jackson's Decoding Society, which was this great 80s jazz funk.
Fierce, too.
Very fierce band. And also Ronald Chen and Jackson, he was also the drummer for this very loud free improv jazz rock band called Last Exit with Peter Broetzmann and Sonny Chirac and Bill Laswell. And it's kind of both of those, but also kind of proggy, kind of Black Flag. It's a little bit of everything. Yeah. It's a record called Pleistocene Moon. Every time that I put it on, I'm kind of taken by surprise by it a little bit. The track that I want to play for you is 12 minutes long, so we'll kind of like
kick back again.
Yeah, you know, we'll kick. See you guys. So we'll kind of play some of it. And again, we'll put up the full song for everybody to listen to, and you can actually listen to the whole album on their Bandcamp page, which I'll also link to.
Great.
So this is a track called The Transformation of Matter, and it features some guest saxophone.
Just before we go to it, you're a big fan of Bandcamp. Can people follow you and then see what you're getting turned on to?
Oh, absolutely. If you want to follow me on Bandcamp or on Twitter or on Tumblr, I use the same social media handle for everything. Go to bandcamp.com/totalvibration.
Excellent. And now there's Unconscious.
Unconscious Collective. We'll be right back.
came in about 4 minutes in. We're leaving it with still, there are six more minutes in this song by Unconscious Collective.
And, you know, we hate to do that kind of thing, but yeah. We're trying to pack as much as we can in. And like I said earlier, we'll feature full tracks on the page that maybe you're currently on. Or if you're not on the page, you go to the All Songs Considered website.
And this music reminded me of King Crimson. There are obvious
things.
21st Century Schizoid Man. Mm-hmm.
Jab. Yeah.
Yeah. And I see Decoding Society, see Ronald Shannon Jackson back in the day, and it's great to hear that. I use the word fierce earlier, but again, it comes up here because it just is. Nobody plays that well.
Yeah, I'd absolutely love to see them live. They have kind of like ritualistic makeup, and there's a whole thing to what they do. So I'm sure it's quite a thing to experience.
The Transformation of Matter was the song. Yeah, Plasticine Moon is the album.
Plasticine Moon is the name of the album.
Well, you kicked me in the pants coming in. What are you going to do?
I'm going to kick you in the pants going out, Bob.
Fabulous. How are you going to do that? I'm on my garden.
I'm going to do it with a Canadian speed metal band called Skull Fist, which is just kind of the perfect name for any band, really.
How is there not a name of a band, Skull Fist, before now?
I know. Right. They it's like it was plucked from the ether and they just knew. But this is the band's second album. They love 80s traditional and speed and heavy metal. They love bands like Riot and Tokyo Blade. And they take that energy, take those ideas, take even that style of production, and they funnel into these just really fun songs that, if I had a car, I don't have a car, I would just, like, speed down the highway to these songs all night long.
Well, it's good that you don't have a car.
Yeah. But this is the title track from the album Chasing the Dream.
Fabulous. Thank you, Lars Godrich. You can look at lots of, over the course of the year, last year and the year before, and then upcoming in the new year, Lars does blog posts for All Songs Considered under Viking's Choice. You can subscribe to those things, right? So
there have been some nice improvements on the website.
That's one of them.
Now you can actually follow different series in a way that makes more sense than it didn't used to in the past.
And it actually works better player-wise on mobile than it did before, right?
Yeah, it looks so much better on mobile these days. And you can click on our bylines, and I'll show you every single story that we have written or been a part of.
That's
which
sweet.
Is really
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for doing this. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Cheers. Kick me
in the pants
with your skull fist.